That we're doing now, the next few weeks, we're going to do a series on the history of the Beis HaMikdash. And just to start with a pasuk in Tehillim, Tehillim Ayin Tes 79, it says, Mizmor L'Asaf. Asaf wrote quite a few chapters of Tehillim. And he says, Elikim bo goyim b'nachalasecha. The nations have come into your inheritance. It says, Timu es heichel kachecha. They contaminated your heichel. It says pretty bad stuff of what the nations did. So the question is, why is Asaf singing? He should be in lamentation. He should be crying. So the question, the Gemara, the Medrash asks, why is Asaf singing? So on this, I want to quote a Medrash from Eicha Rabasi Dalad Yudalad. That's a Medrash on Eicha. There's a pasuk in Eicha, Vayatzes Eish B'tziyin, and Hashem lit a fire on in Tziyin. So the Medrash Eicha brings the pasuk in Tehillim that we just quoted, that it says, Mizmer le'osaf and le'kim bo goyim b'nachmasecha. Hashem, the nations have come into your inheritance. So the question the Medrash asks, why does it say Mizmer le'osaf? Why is Asaf singing? It should have said Asaf was crying, or Nehi le'osaf. Kino loss of his Nehi Kino is a lamentation, Nehi is something similar. Why is he singing? So the Medrash gives a beautiful mashal on why Asaf sang on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the mashal, the melech, Shasa Beis Chupa Libnoi, a king made a wedding for his son, a wedding hall, Vesida, Vekira, Vetsida, and he put plaster, he put the decorations, he made it beautiful. V'yotza l'b'noi l'tar b'sro. And meanwhile, his son started acting bad. Miyad ola ha-melech l'chupa. The king went up to the chupa. He had this beautiful wedding hall, which he decorated for his son's wedding. V'kora es ha-vilois. And he ripped all the curtains. V'shiber es ha-konim. And he broke the sticks. V'notal patkud shaloi. And he took the... V'notal patkud shaloi. Imov Shalkonim, a teacher, Uman Mechanech, it says, a teacher of the child took a Imov, a Chalil, a flute made of different sticks, by a Mezamer, and he starts singing. The king is demolishing the wedding hall, and this Imov, this good friend, this teacher of the child is singing. Amru Lai, so they say to him, what are you singing? Hamel, Chafach, Chupase Shal B'nai. The king destroyed the wedding hall which he built for his son. Va'at yoyshevu mezamer, and you are sitting and singing? So the good friend, the teacher of the son, says, that's why I'm singing. I am singing shahafach huposay shal b'nai. The king was upset. What did he do? He put his anger on the wedding hall. V'lo shafach hamosay al b'nai. He didn't put his anger on the son. The king could have punished the son. Instead, he punished the wedding hall. They say to Asaf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hechriv heichol mikdash, Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, ve'ato yoyshevu mezamer, you're singing when Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? So Asaf says, sure I'm singing when Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Omar lohem, Asaf says to them, mezamer ani, I am singing, sheshofach HaKadosh Baruch Hu chamosai al ho'eitzim v'al ho'avonim, that Hashem put his anger on the stones and on the rocks. B'le'shafach ha'mosay al Yisrael. Hashem could have put his anger against the Jewish people. Hadohu d'ksiv, this is the meaning of the pasuk. Vayatzes eish b'tziyin, and Hashem lit a fire in Tziyin. Vatoichal. Everyone again. Vatoichal yisoydei seho, and consumed its foundations. And Asaf is singing because Baruch Hashem, that Hashem put his anger on the Beis HaMikdash and not against the Jewish people. Now, concerning this, which we have in the 3 weeks, we focus on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a basic concept in Chassidus that every setback, and this is relevant to these 3 weeks, every setback is a step towards the ultimate goal of Dira B'Tachtonim. So every setback, even things that look like things are going bad, things have gone wrong, but it's ultimately a step towards the ultimate goal of making a dwelling for Hashem down here. There's the famous Siyum, the ending of Masechta Makkos, where we have a story about Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, are on their way to Rome, and they hear the noise of Rome from a distance of 120 mil, 120 kilometers, and they are all crying, and Rabbi Akiva is laughing and rejoicing. And the rabbi, and they was asking Rabbi Akiva, what are you rejoicing? And he says, why are you crying? They said that the Romans, who have caused such destruction, and they're having things so good, I shouldn't cry. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's why I'm, if the Romans have things so good, imagine what's in for us, that we are Hashem's children. So Rabbi Akiva sees every negative thing. He sees it as a reason for rejoicing. Another story, the Gemara in the end of Makkos brings about the same three rabbis, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And they're right by the Har HaBayis, and they see a fox coming out of the place of the Kodesh Kodashim. And they are crying, and Rabbi Akiva is laughing and rejoicing. And again, the Gemara says, they ask him, why are you rejoicing? He says, why are you crying? And they say, what do you mean? The place where it says that any stranger who goes there will be killed and will die. And now we have foxes. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's why I am rejoicing, because if this, that we see all the negative prophecies have been fulfilled, we're certain that all the positive prophecies will be fulfilled. The Rebbe explains concerning this Gemara that specifically Rabbi Akiva, because he's a ger, Rabbi Akiva is a convert, Rabbi Akiva comes from a very difficult situation. Therefore, he appreciates the value of transforming every negative to positive. The other rabbis find difficulty appreciating the value of negative. Rabbi Akiva realizes how negative can be transformed to positive. The Gemara over there ends. Akiva, the rabbis, the other three rabbis, Rabbi Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, say to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva nichamtonu, Akiva nichamtonu. Akiva, you have comforted us. Akiva, you have comforted us. The Rebbe discusses in a sicha, what is the meaning of the double expression? Akiva nichamtonu, Akiva nichamtonu. We also have it in the Haftorah of Shabbos Nachamu, where we start, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Comfort, comfort my nation. What is the idea of the double expression? So the Rebbe explains that the double expression is, one is that when you see a negative thing, right now it's negative, but it's going to be good. That's the first step of Nichamtonu. The second step is that the negative thing itself is actually good. We just don't see what it's good. But Rabbi Akiva, who has better eyesight than average, in the negative itself, he already sees good. Or the Rebbe also says the word Goyla for Golos is called Goyla, exile, and Geula is redemption. They are spelled almost the same. Gimel Vav Lamed Hey is Goyla, and Gimel Aleph Vav Lamed Hey is Geula. Because as you see Goyla, as you see exile, as you see problems, you have to know the pnimius of Goyla, the pnimius, the inner and deeper meaning of Goyla is Geula. So in every negative, we can see the positive. And that is Rabbi Akiva's approach of always focusing on the positive in each thing. And that's why in both of those stories, in the end of Masechta Makkos, Rabbi Akiva is rejoicing. The Rebbe also connects this to a machlokes, where by the Aseres HaDibros it says, "Vayedaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ho'ela leimor." Hashem spoke all these words, saying, the Jews had to say something when Hashem said the Aseres HaDibros. So there's a machlokes. I think it's Rabbi Yishmael, if I'm not making a mistake, says that for the positive mitzvahs they would say hey and yes, and the negative mitzvahs they would say loy, no, lav. Rabbi Akiva says for everything they said hein, because Rabbi Akiva sees the positive in each thing and even the negative. He doesn't focus on the negative, but he sees the positive in every negative. And here we also get to an amazing mimer, both of the Tzemach Tzedek and of the Rebbe, on the pasuk in Eicha, the first pasuk in Eicha, which is Eicha Yoshva Bodo, which we read on Tisha B'Av night. The simple meaning of Eicha Yoshva Bodo, how did it end up that Yerushalayim, such a beautiful city, is all alone in crying, lamenting over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? In Hasidus, it says, the Tzemach Tzedek brings, that Bodod has to do with the revelation of Moshiach, as it says, Vayishkar Yisrael Betach Bodod Ein Yaakov, or Hashem Bodod Yanchenu. Both of those words, Bodod, is the revelation of Moshiach. And Eicha, how did it happen that all these negative things that have befallen the Jewish people have actually been a step Yoshva, to internalize, to have it sit well, the concept of Bada, the concept of Mashiach, to actually see. So that's how there's amazing Maimari Hasidus that we learn on Tisha B'Av night, which focuses on the amazing blessing in every negative thing. Okay, so that's just the introduction. Now we're going to have a number of parts. We're first going to focus on the history of the Mokim HaMizbeach, the place of the Mizbeach, which is placed in a very special place. Now, the Mokim HaMizbeach, just first to go through the content, and then we'll see it in the Rambam inside. The place of the Mizbeach is the place which Adam HaRishon, Adam, the first man, was created from that spot. Adam made a carbon, was again in the place of the Mizbeach. Cain and Hevel made korbanis there. Noach made korbanis there. Avraham built the Mizbeach for Akedas Yitzchak, all in that special place of the Mokim HaMizbeach. Yitzchak goes to the fields to daven. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basoda. That's all in the Mokim HaMizbeach. Yaakov's dream of the ladder, with the Malachim going up and down the ladder, when Hashem gives him the famous Pasuk V'hayaz Racho Faratzta, which we say before HaKafos, and that whole dream of the ladder with the Malachim going up and down was also on the place of the Mizbeach. Yaakov sees the place of the Mizbeach. He calls it Beis Elikim. This is the house of Hashem, which generally it's brought that Avraham referred to it as Har HaMoriah. Yitzchak referred to it as Sode. Avraham refers to it as a mountain. Yitzchak as a field. And Yaakov sees it as a bias, because bias is a place where a person lives that we have to internalize the concept of the Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov also calls it Yaakov, when he sees the dream of the Malachim going up and down the ladder, and he says, this is Beis Elikim, Vizesh Shar HaShomayim, this is the gate of heaven, because all our davening goes up through the Mokim HaMizbeach, which is why every single time we daven towards Eretz Yisrael, towards the Beis HaMikdash, towards the Mizbeach, towards the Kodesh Kadoshim, because the shar, the gate for all our tefillahs, all our prayers to go up is all, this is the shar hashamayim, is the place of the Mizbeach or the place of the Kodesh Kadosh. You have God HaChayza, when there was a terrible plague after David counted the Jewish people. So God HaChayza, the prophet God, tells David to purchase a silo from Aravna HaYavusi and to make korbanis there, to make ketoidus, correction, to make ketoidus there. Aravna offered to give it for free. David insisted on paying. He paid 50 silver shkolim. He didn't want to have the place of the Mizbeach for free. But still, this Aravna, unlike Ephraim Hachiti, who offered to give Maras HaMachpelah for free, but in the end he charged top dollar. But Aravna, even though he was a non-Jew, he was totally committed to help David and help the Jewish people with the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash in every way possible. And therefore, in the days of Chizkiyahu, the Jews made Pesach when they were tummy. It says they found the skull of Aravna HaYavusi under the Mizbeach, and that's how they became tummy in the days of Chizkiyahu. That's why they had a Pesach which was made with Tumah. So Aravna HaYavusi, because he wanted so much to help the Jewish people with the building of the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, he as a guy, he still merited that his skull was buried by the Mokim HaMizbeach. It says generally we have Meiser, we have the Meiser that goes to the Levi, the Meiser we eat in Yerushalayim, and on the third and sixth year, we have Meiser Oni, which we give to poor Jews. Now generally Meiser Oni is given to Jews. Do we give Meiser Oni to Goyim? Generally not. The descendants of this Aravna HaYavusi, who helped David with the Mizbeach, they were given Meiser Oni even though they weren't Jewish. Quite amazing, because these people had a big schus that their Zayda Aravna HaYavusi helped us with the Mizbeach. Normally, we don't encourage Goyim to live in Yerushalayim. The descendants of Aravna HaYavusi, in the merit of their Zayda, who helped us with the Mizbeach, with the Mokim HaMizbeach, they were encouraged to remain in Yerushalayim, even though they were Goyim. Just to read on all this, the Rambam inside Hilchos Beis Abakira, Perek Beis, the Rambam reads, HaMizbeach Mekoimoi Mechuvin B'Yoser. The place of the Mizbeach is very exact. If we want to build a Mizbeach, we have to get it exact. And this is relevant to a halacha. I know that in 1967, the Yidden captured Yerushalayim, and in 1968, there was a big shayl about Pesach, because at that time, it was possible theoretically to make a carbon Pesach, because we had Yerushalayim, and there was a question if we knew the exact place of the Mizbeach, and those claimed we did, those who claimed we didn't. And the Rebbe in 1968 suggested that it would be better that Yidden would leave Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach Rishon, the 14th of Nisan, and Erev Pesach Sheni, the 14th of Iyar, because of a question that maybe we would have to make a carbon Pesach, even though we're Tomei, but maybe we don't have the right Kayin, we don't have a Kayin to prove, and maybe we're not the exact spot, as the Rambam says, Mekayim Mechuvin B'Yaser. Now, this was in 1968. By 1973, the Rebbe writes that this halacha doesn't apply anymore because at this point, we couldn't make karbonis. After the 67, after the Six-Day War, we could have easily gotten rid of the mosque and made karbonis. But after, by 73, there was a lot of international pressure and it wouldn't have been an option. And the Rebbe says, this halacha of having to leave Yerushalayim is not applicable anymore. So again, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira writes, HaMizbeach Mekoymoi Mechuvin B'Yoyser. The place of the Mizbeach is very exact. Vein Mishaninoi Soimi Mekoymoi La'olam. We never change the spot of the Mizbeach. As it says, Ze Mizbach La'olam L'Yisrael. This is the Mizbeach for Yidden to make a carbon olam. Uva Mikdosh Ne'akad Yitzchok Avinu, the Akedah. The famous Akedah when Avraham was ready to sacrifice his son Yitzchak as a korban, this was at the place of the Mizbeach, as it says, we say it every morning in davening, v'lech lecho el Eretz HaMoriah, that Avraham Avinu was told to go to Eretz HaMoriah, which is the spot of the Beis HaMikdash. It says in Divrei Hayomim, v'yochel shloimoi livnois es Beis Hashem b'Yerushalayim b'har HaMoriah. Shloimoi began building the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim and Har HaMoriah, asher nira l'David avihu, where Hashem had appeared to David, asher heichin bimkoim David, which he set up in the place of David, at the Goyen, at the silo of Ornon HaYevusi. So again, we have that Shlomo was careful to make the Mizbeach in that exact spot. This is the place of the Akedas Yitzchak. We cannot change it to any other spot. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam continues, Umisoyres biyad hakoil, there's a tradition by all, Shahamokim shebona by David u Shlomo hamizbeach, begoyed in Haravna, this place where David and Shlomo, David planned it and Shlomo built it, the Mizbeach by the goyed, and actually David also built the Mizbeach and made karbonis there. And Shlomo later rebuilt the Mizbeach there in the silo of Haravna. Who hamokim shebona by Avram hamizbeach? That is the exact spot where Avram made a mizbeach v'akadol of Yitzchak. Who hamokim shebona by Noach sheyotzem in ateva? This is the exact spot where Noach brought karbonis upon leaving the teva. Who hamizbeach shehikrivon of Cain v'Hevel? It's the exact same spot where Cain and Hevel brought karbonis. Ubay hikriv Adam harishin karbon kishenivra. That's where Adam HaRishon brought the first carbon. Umisham Nivra, when Adam was created, Hashem took Ofar min ha'adama, dust from the ground, and created Adam. He took him. It was that same spot, the dust from the exact place of the Mizbeach. Amru Chachamim, our sages say, Adam mimekayim kaparasai Nivra. Adam was created from the place of his atonement. The Rambam continues in Halacha Gimel at Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Midos HaMizbeach Mechuvonos Harbe. The measurements of the Mizbeach are very exact. Vitzurosoi, the shape of the Mizbeach, is also exact. Yidua Ish Meish, it's handed down generation to generation, one man to the next, and the Mizbeach. Shebonu B'nei HaGoyla, the Mizbeach, which the B'nei HaGoyla, when the Yidden came up from Babel, from the Babylonian exile, is similar to the Mizbeach Shasad Leibonis Asu, is similar to the Mizbeach that will be built in the future by Moshiach. Vein L'hoisif al midasai v'loy l'groya mimena. We should not add or subtract from the measurements of the Mizbeach, even though we will see that the Mizbeach in the first Beis HaMikdash And the second Beis HaMikdash was a different size. And the B'nai HaGoyla did add to the Mizbeach, which we're going to have soon, a lengthy discussion on that. Now, when the Yidden came up in the days of Zerubbabel and Yeshua Kohen Gadol, how did they know exactly where to build the Mizbeach? Three prophets came up with the Jewish people from Goyla, from Babel. The three prophets were Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the last three prophets of the Treyosar, the 12 minor prophets. One testified, one of these Nevi'im testified the exact place of the Mizbeach. And one testified for the exact measurements. And one of these three Nevi'im testified that you can make all the karbonis, even though there was no Beis HaMikdash. And when the Yidden did arrive in the days of Zerubbabel and Yeshua Kohen Gadol, they started on Rosh Hashanah, they started bringing karbonis, and by Sukkot, they were bringing every day without fail. They started building the foundations of the second Beis HaMikdash. Then the Goyim in Yerushalayim sent messengers to Persia, which included Haman was the head of the delegation of the anti-Semites, and Mordechai was from the head of the delegation of the Jews. It was pro-Beis HaMikdash, anti-Beis HaMikdash. And then the Beis HaMikdash building was delayed for 18 years, but during those 18 years of the delay, they were making karbonis, which during the Purim story, Vayehi b'me'ach HaShmeidesh, when we read, at that time, they had already a Mizbeach, they had laid foundations, and it was in the 18-year stop of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why it's brought in the Megillah that HaShmeidesh, when Esther says that she wants that HaShmeidesh should come to the party, and what does she want? And HaShmeidesh says, Ad chatzi hamalchus v'seos, up to half the kingdom I will do it. It will be done. And Rashi brings that chatzi hamalchus, the Beis HaMikdash, is half right in the middle of my kingdom. And that's one thing that's not negotiable. Because even though Ahasuerus did not know that Esther was Jewish, but she did know that there was a close relationship between Esther and Mordechai. There's a medrash which we mentioned many times that Esther asked him that he should appoint a Jewish officer, and she got him to appoint Mordechai as an officer. We also had when Bigson and Seresh were planning to poison the king, it was Vatoymer Esther Lamelech b'shem Mordechai. She said it over to the king in the name of Mordechai. So though the king had no idea that Esther was Jewish, he did know that there was some sort of a relationship between Esther and Mordechai. And therefore, and he also did know that Mordechai had been one of the first group of Jews when they went up in the days of Zerubbabel and Yeshua Kohen Gadol. There were 42,360 Jews who went to build the second Beis HaMikdash. Mordechai was one of them. Why was he back in Shushan HaBira, in the capital of Persia, Shushan, in the Purim story? Because he came as the head of the pro-Beis HaMikdash delegation. So Ahasuerus knew about a relationship between Mordechai and Esther. He knew that Mordechai's whole presence in Shushan was to lobby for the Beis HaMikdash. So again, in Halacha Daled, three prophets, three Nevi'im came up with the Yidden from Golus. One testified the exact place of the Mizbeach, one testified on the measurements, and one testified that you can make all the karbonis even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. Mizbeach she'osa Moshe v'she'osa Shlomo v'she'osu b'nei ha'goyim, all these Mizbeach, whether the one Moshe made, whether the one Shlomo made, whether the one the B'nai HaGoyla when they came up from Babylonian exile, what will be made when Mashiach comes. Kulon eser amis goyva kolechemi, and every Mizbeach is exactly 10 amis tall. It says in the Chumash, v'sholish amis kemasai, that's only the Mekayim HaMarocha from the Seiviv to the top. But the actual Mizbeach itself is 10 amis high. Now, how big is the Mizbeach? Here, there's a big difference. How wide? There are three measurements. The Mizbeach in the Midbar was one size. The Mizbeach in the first Beis HaMikdash was another size. The second Beis HaMikdash and the third Beis HaMikdash both have the same, and they're another size. And they are, the Rambam tells us, the Mizbeach that the Bnei HaGoyim made when they came up from the Babylonian exile, Bechein Ha'osud Lihibonis, and the Mizbeach that will be built in the future, is Midas Arkei V'Rochbei, its length and width, is exactly Lamed Beis Amos and Lamed Beis Amos. Still on the concept of David buying the place of the Mizbeach from Aravna HaYevusi, who was a Goy, who was very pro-David and very pro-Beis HaMikdash and pro-Mizbeach. And there's a Tosefta and Peo that brings that there was a family called Navlaton Yerushalayim who had their lineage from Aravna HaYevusi, and there was a Goyish family in Yerushalayim who Jews respected because they knew that they were descendants of Arnon or Aravna HaYevusi who helped us with the building of the Mizbeach. The Chachomim, it says, gave 300 shekels of Maaser Sheni money to help finance this group of Goyim. They could have given these people money and saying, leave Yerushalayim, we don't need Goyim in Yerushalayim. But they decided there's a difference between all other Goyim and the Goyim that are descendants of Aravna HaYevusi. Aravna HaYevusi helped us with the Mizbeah, and these Goyim we dafke want in Yerushalayim. Now, the Mizbeach is in the portion of Binyamin. Why of all 12 brothers did Binyamin merit to have the Mizbeach in his portion? So in Bereishis Rabbah, he wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef. All the other brothers were Yosef had friction with the brothers, said negative on the brothers. The brothers sold him at different, they all had some negative feelings to Yosef, some more, some less. Binyamin was the only one who was never involved in the friction pro and against Yosef. And actually, Binyamin is mentioned as one of the four people who never did an Aveira. Now, we say the Mizbeach is in the portion of Binyamin. It refers both to the golden Mizbeach and the main Mizbeach. Now, the size of the Mizbeach, we said, changed from the first Beis HaMikdash to the second Beis HaMikdash. In the first Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach was 28 Amos. By 28 amos at the bottom level. In the second Beis HaMikdash, it was 32 amos by 32 amos. So the Oile Goyla, the people who came up from Babylonian exile, extended the Mizbeach, 4 amos on the south and 4 amos on the west. Now the question is, if the measurements are so exact, why were they so desperate to extend the Mizbeach? So there's a Mishnah in Midos that discusses this, which the commentaries go into the reason why they extended it. The Mishnah in Midos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph reads, HaMizbeach HaYashleishim U'Shtayim HaShleishim U'Shtayim. The Mizbeach was 32 Amos by 32 Amos, and there are 3 levels of the Mizbeach. There's the bottom level called Yesoid, which is 1 Amma from the ground. The second level, which is called Soive, which is 6 Amos from the ground. The third level, which is known as Mokim HaMarocha, is 9 amos from the ground. And then we have 4 kronos, the 4 corners, which are each a cubic amma. So the Mishnah in Midos goes on. Olo amma v'konas amma, you went up an amma and in an amma, and we come to the bottom level of the Mizbeach, that's called Yesoid. And as we moved in one amma, we went down to 30 by 30. Ola Chomish, we go up another 5 Amish, we go in another Amma, we come to the second level of the Mizbeach, which is Soive. So as we went in twice an Amma from both sides, we're now at 28 by 28. Mokim HaKronos, the place, so the top of the Mizbeach is 28 by 28. The Kronos, the 4 corners, which are each a cubic Amma, is Amma Mizeva, Amma Mizeh. So after the Kronos, you have 26 by 26. Then we have a place where the Kayanim walk around the Mizbeach, which is an Amma on both sides. So the actual middle of the Mizbeach, which is known as the Mekayim HaMarocha, the place where the fire was in the second Beis HaMikdash, was 24 by 24. So again, the bottom of the Mizbeach was 32 by 32. But then we gave in 2 Amos for the Yesoid and 2 Amos for the Soivim and 2 for the at the Marot to the Kronis and one for the for the Makam Hayim for the place where the Kainim walk around. So by the time we get to the top, we're 24 by 24. Now, this is all of the Mizbeach in the second Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Yosi tells us, Mitchila, in the beginning, in the first Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach was smaller. Lehaya ela Shmeina v'esrim al Shmeina v'esrim. It was 28 by 28. And as we went up an Amah for the Yisayid and for the Seiv and for the Mokim Harocha, etc., Achanim some Mokim HaMarocha, in the first Beis HaMikdash, the place of the fire was Esrim al Esrim. Uksha'olu b'nei ha'goylo, when they came up from Golos Bavel, ha'isifu olav arba amis min ha'dorim, they extended the Mizbeach four amis from the south, ba'arba min ha'marov, and four from the west, kimin gamo, in the shape of the Greek letter gamo, which is shaped like an L. As it says, a pasuk in Yecheskel, v'ho ariel, the ariel is the lion of Hashem, the fire which consumes the korbanis. It was 12 long and 12 wide. Ravua. You would think it's only 12 by 12, but then it says Alarmas Ravov. There's four squares, which each square is 12 by 12, which means the whole thing is 24 by 24. There's a Chutshel Sikra. There's a red string, or red, not a string, but a red mark painted thing right in the middle of the Mizbeach, like a gartel, like a belt, which divides between the Domim El Yoinim, the higher bloods, which is the blood of a Karban Chatos, which goes on top, and the blood of an Eilas Behema, which goes on the bottom, to divide between the Domim El Yoinim, the Domim HaTachtoinim, the upper bloods and the lower bloods. Now, so one thing we see here clear, that in the second Beis HaMikdash, they extended the Mizbeach four Amos on the south, and four Amos on the west. Now, what is the reason for the differences between the Mizbeach in the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash? It's all based on the meaning of a pasuk in Yisrei. The pasuk says, Mizbach Adomo Ta'aseli, you should make me a Mizbeach of Adomo, of earth. So Shlomo HaMelech translated this pasuk, Adomo, Otum ka'adama, it should be solid like earth. Shaloyah cholo, there should be nothing hollow. So therefore, the whole Mizbeach is solid. The Oile Goyla, they decided that no, the Mizbeach is not solid. There's plumbing inside. How do you translate Mizbeach Adama? They said Mechubar ba'adama, it's connected to the ground, but it's not solid. There's plumbing inside. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was no internal plumbing. The water, the blood ran off down the side. There was no plumbing inside. In the second Beis HaMikdash, the Oile Goyla, Zerubbabel and Yeshua Kohen Gadol changed the setup that there's plumbing inside the Mizbeach. And for that, they extended it. And Adama means Shalayiv Nenu Al Gabe Kipim, not to build it on stilts. Why did they say that it's so important that we have plumbing inside? Because they said shtiya kachila, the blood and the water and the tzentra which is poured on the Mizbeach, just like the karbonis, the solids that are put in the Mizbeach, the fire consumes them in the Mizbeach, it doesn't go down the side. The blood and the water and the wine which is poured on the Mizbeach has to go inside the Mizbeach. It shouldn't pour down the side, which in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was no inside plumbing. So the blood and the water and the wine would go down the side. In the second Beis HaMikdash, they made internal plumbing. Now, the Mishnah in Midos continues that they added four Amos from the south and four Amos from the west, the shape of the Greek letter Gamo, Gimel. Gamo, Rashi says, is a Gimel Yevonis, which is like our upside down Nuns. It's like the letter L. And the Rav, Rabbi Vadim Ibar Tanura, continues that the place of the Shittim, which are special holes for the Nisachim, for that which is poured on the Mizbeach to go down, and that's why they extended the Mizbeach on the south and on the west. In the beginning, in the days of Shlomo, they said, Mizbech Adama Otum Kadama Shalayachon, it shouldn't be hollow. And they would make sure that when you pour it on the Mizbeach, you would all the wine would go down the side. And there was a pit by the southwest corner where it would collect all the liquids, not inside the Mizbeach. And the B'nai HaGoylo, the people came up from Golos, they added in the Mizbeach until that pit became inside the Mizbeach, and they made holes for the water and wine to go down, because they said Shtiya Ka'achila, just like the solids that are put on the Mizbeach get burned on the Mizbeach itself, the liquids, the wine, the blood, and the water have to be swallowed in the Mizbeach itself. And they say Mizbech Hadoma only means that it should be connected to the ground, not built on stilts. I'm just going to take a moment to mute people because there's noise. If anyone has a question, you're welcome to ask, but try not to have noise that will disturb everyone.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
So we learned from the way the blood was disposed of that we see a shul, or a Beis Hamikdash should be kept clean, correct?
Beis Hamikdash, what?
Should be kept clean. Clean and respected.
Yes.
Okay, sure, I see.
Very good. Okay. Still in this Mishnah about the Yisoid, which is the bottom level of the Mizbeach. The Mishnah says the Yisoid, the bottom level of the Mizbeach, covered the whole north and the whole west. But in the south and in the east, the Yisoid is not complete. Either it has a cutoff on Amma or it only has one Amma. Different opinions as to exactly how it's not complete. Now, the Yisoid, which is the lowest level of the Mizbeach is not a perfect square. This Yisoid, this the lowest level, gets cut off in the south and in the east. What is the reason for this? So the reason for this is based on a pasuk in Vayechi, which says Binyamin. We said before that the Mizbeach is built in the portion of Binyamin. And Binyamin is the Eiv Yitrov. Binyamin is like a wolf that rips apart. In the morning, he eats his spoils. In the evening, he divides his spoils. Binyamin's Eiv Yitrov, Babaker Yachalad, Velerav Yachalik Shaul. Unkelus, the famous commentary, the famous translation says, it translates it as follows. In what way is Binyamin compared to a wolf? Unkelus says, Binyamin Be'are Tishrei Shchinta. The Shechina rests in his land, which means that all the holiest parts of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, the Kodesh Kadoshim, are all in the property of Binyamin, as we said before, that Binyamin was not involved in the sale of Yosef. The Beis HaMikdash will be built on his property. So the whole Mizbeach must be built in the portion of Binyamin. Now, just over there, it ends up that it's the border between Yehuda and Binyamin, and to make sure that none of the Mizbeach is built in the corner of Yehuda. That's why two ends of the Mizbeach, the east and the south, two parts of the Mizbeach, the east and the south get cut off, not to enter into Yehuda's portion. Rabbi Vadya Mibar Tanura, the famous commentary on the Mishnah, says that you have three corners of the Mizbeach in the portion of Binyamin. The southwest corner is in the portion of Yehuda. But because Yaakov gave a bracha, Binyamin Zeiv Yitrov, and the Targum Unkelus says that in Binyamin's portion will be built the Beis HaMikdash, and it means Dovar HaMekudush L'Domim, that which is holy for the blood to be put, L'Yehei Ella B'Chelke Shel Binyamin, the blood of the Karbanos must be in the portion of Binyamin. And Yehuda's portion is right there. So we have to cut off some of the Mizbeach. That's why there was no Yisoid on the southeastern corner, because it's not in the portion of Torah. Binyamin is called Torah because he grabs all the karbonis, and that corner of the southeast of the Mizbeach is in Yehuda. That's why it has to get cut off. No blood can be put in that corner. Now, so now that we have finished discussing the Mizbeach, now we're going to discuss the Mishkan. Of course, eventually in the days of Shlomo, a Beis HaMikdash was built, but from the days the Jews were in the desert, they had a Mishkan. First, the Mishkan, it was in the desert for 39 years. Then upon coming to Eretz Yisrael, they went to Gilgal, and it was in Gilgal for 14 years, and we'll soon discuss why the place was called Gilgal. Then they built a Mizbeach. The walls were out of stone and the top was curtain in Shiloh, where it remained for 369 years until the days of Eli HaKoyin's sons, when they took the Orin to battle. Then after the destruction of Shiloh, they were 13 years in Noiv. This wasn't the full Beis HaMikdash. It was known as a Boma Ketana, a Mizbeach which had limited use. Noiv for 13 years, Givin for 44 years. until they built the first Beis HaMikdash, which lasted 410 years, and the second Beis HaMikdash, 420. Where is all this from? All this is from the Rambam. We have the Rambam, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph, where he says, Kivin shenichnesu la'oretz, as soon as the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, hamido hamishkan begilgal arba esrei shana shekofshu v'shekolkum. The 14 years, they spent 7 years capturing Eretz Yisrael, 7 years dividing Eretz Yisrael. During those 14 years, the Mishkan was in Gilgal. Umisham bo Meshileh, from there they came to Shileh. And there they built a house of stones, and they spread out curtains, and there was no ceiling there. And it remained Shin Samech Tes Shana Omad Mishkan Shileh. The Mishkan stood in Shileh for 369 years. When Eli died, it was destroyed. They came to Noiv, and they built the Mikdash there. When Shmuel died, Noiv got destroyed, and they came to Givin. They built the Mikdash there. From Givin, they built the Beis HaMikdash. The total of Noiv and Givin together is 57 years. Then the Rambam goes on to tell us, as soon as the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, it became prohibited to make karbonos and make a house for Hashem anyplace else. If you would want to make a carbon in your backyard on Hotham Street or on Gonaiva Road, it would be prohibited. And ve'ein shom bayis l'doyrei doyreis ela b'Yerushalayim b'vad. For all generations, we're allowed to have a Beis HaMikdash only in Yerushalayim. Livnois b'hen bayis l'Hashem l'hakriv b'hem carbon. It's the only place we're allowed to make a carbon. It's prohibited to make a carbon outside Yerushalayim. As it says, Vayoymer David Zehu Beis Hashem Olikim, this is the house of Hashem. Vizem Mizbach Loyal Yisrael, this is the Mizbeach for Karbonis. And another Pasuk, Zeis Menuchasi Adayad, here is my resting place forever. So, just to clarify, during the time that they were in the Midbar, it was prohibited to make private Mizbeach. In the 14 years of Gilgal, it was permissible to have a private Mizbeach in your backyard. During the 369 years of Shiloh, it was again prohibited. Then in the 57 years of Noiv and Givin, it was permissible. And then once they built the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, it is permanently prohibited. So in the whole Jewish history, from the time of the giving of the Torah, from the time of the building of the Mishkan, how many years were there that you were allowed to make a private Mizbeach? A total of 71 years, 57 of Noiv and Givin and 14 of Gilgal. He goes on in Halacha Daled, the building that Shlomo built is found in Sefer Melachim. The one that will be built in the future is found in Yechezkel, though it's not very clear. Just to mention about that, which is not very clear, there's an amazing Rashi in Yechezkel, Perek Membeis, Pasuk Gimel, which was one of my father's favorite Rashis, where Rashi says how he got the explanation of these psukim. And Rashi says, the Rashi says as follows.
Sorry, Rabbi.
Yes?
Can you just mute everybody because there's some background noise coming through?
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the building. Okay, I'll ask everybody, please don't unmute yourself because it disturbs. There's somebody unmuting themselves who really is disturbing. So the building that Shlomo built is mentioned in Sefer Melachim. The future building, though it's not written in Yechezkel, is not the people of Bayis Sheni, when they built in the days of Ezra, they built it the same as Shlomo, but similar to Yechezkel, because we say they built it more like the third Beis HaMikdash. What I wanted to say still about the third Beis HaMikdash, there's a Rashi in Yechezkel, Membeis Gimel, that brings that Rashi says, I didn't have any teacher or any helpers to describe the first Beis HaMikdash, only as Heruni Min HaShemayim, only as I was shown in heaven. And this is the only place where Rashi writes clear that he had help from heaven for writing his commentary. Now, when they first arrived in Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan was in Gilgal for 14 years. Quite interesting, why is the place called Gilgal? it says that at that time when the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem told them to make two harvei surim, sharp knives, and to make another bris for Yidden. And Yehoshua made sharp knives, and he made the Yidden a bris. Actually, they arrived in Eretz Yisrael on the 10th of Nisan. The major bris was on the 11th of Nisan. Which is quite interesting that the 11th of Nisan was the day of the bris upon arrival in Eretz Yisrael, which eventually became the Rebbe's birthday. When everybody finished making their bris and they recovered, Hashem tells Yehoshua, today I have removed the disgrace of Mitzrayim, and because of the word Galoisi, that's why the place is called Gilgal. What is Galoisi, Gilgal? What's the Galoisi here? Rashi says, I removed the disgrace of Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim people, the Egyptians, were saying, we saw through astrology that as the Jews are going to come to Israel, there's going to be a lot of blood, there's going to be a lot of problems. There's a star called Ra, which is a sign of blood, and we see it coming to you in the desert. And we see that Moshe says this. Why should the Egyptians say that Hashem took them out with the star Ra? They didn't realize that this is the blood of Bris Milah. And when they made a bris in the days of Yehoshua, and in the end, it turned out that the sign of blood was that upon arrival to Eretz Yisrael, 600,000 Jews will make bris. So there was a lot of blood on that Yeralef Nissen. When the days of Yehoshua, when they made that bris, that disgrace was removed, because the Erev Rav, who joined them, were still saying that it's going to be a lot of blood. And then everybody knew that it was from the bris. And that's, Rashi says, from Reb Moshe Hadarshan. Now, Yehoshua, who brought the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, never had any sons. Why did he never have any sons? It's mentioned in the Gemara that he kept the Arein in the wrong place for one night during a war, and they should have put the Arein back at night, and they didn't. And you're not allowed to have marital relations when the Arein is not in place. So he prevented the Jews from the mitzvah of Piri Avadivya, of having children. And because of this, Yehoshua was punished that he never had a male child. He only had daughters. As the Gemara in Erev in Samach Gimel Amud Bey 63b says, it says, Nun b'noi Yehoshua b'noi. It doesn't go on after Yehoshua. And Rav Abba Bar Papa says, Yehoshua was punished not to have sons because he stopped the Jewish people from having marital relations for one night. And through that, he prevented Jewish children from being born. As it says, a pasuk, Vayehi b'yais Yeshua b'yerichai. Yeshua was in Yerichai, and he sees this malach, and the malach says, Ani sar tzva Hashem. And what's the malach? What's your problem? And the malach says, yesterday you missed the carbon tumid shalbein arbaim. As you were fighting the battle, you didn't make the carbon tumid, and now you miss studying Torah. And he asks the malach, which one did you come from? And the malach says, Atabasi, I came now over the issue that you didn't learn Torah. And that night, Yehoshua spent B'Toicha Emek, deep in Halacha. Okay, so we see, on one hand, Yehoshua had an issue that he stopped, he had an issue that he missed a Karban Tumid, and he didn't miss getting the Jews to learn during the war. But the biggest issue was the issue of not having children. As we learned that whenever the Arin and Shechin are in the wrong place, they are prohibited. It's prohibited for them to have marital relations. And because of this, Yehoshua was punished. Just to end on a more positive note, maybe we'll just end with the next one, the next piece of Micha. We're now going to the Mishkan and Shilai, which it says that next to the Mishkan and Shilai, there was a fellow Micha who set up a center of idolatry. And the smoke of Micha got mixed up with the smoke of Shilai, because Shilai Gadov, where Micha had his idol center, was 3 kilometers from Shilai. The Malachim wanted to destroy Micha. Hashem said, don't destroy him. Why? Because he excels in hospitality. And there's an amazing Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says, why they don't count Micha amongst those who lost their Olam Haba? Micha caused a lot of Jews to serve idols. Because it says actually the Pesel Micha was 3 mil away from Shilai, and the smoke from Shilai would get mixed up with Pesel Micha. The Malachim wanted Hashem to get rid of him, and Hashem said, leave him, He has hospitality, and therefore Hashem says, even though Micha serves idols, a Jew who's hospitable and helps other Yidden is a tremendous thing. Still on Shilai, Elkanah would visit, the father of Shmuel Hanavi visited Shilai 4 times a year. Elkanah would encourage other Jews also to visit Shilai. Men and women were encouraged by Elkanah, and they would remain separate. They would go and sleep in public places in the street on the way, men separate and women separate. There's a ton of the Eliyahu Rabba that says that Elkanah, Shmuel's father, would go to Shilai 4 times a year, 3 times as a Torah obligation and 1 which he accepted voluntarily to make karbonis. He would go with his wives, his sons, his family, his brothers, his sisters, all his relatives. And he would say, learn from the idol worshippers that they have whole ways of their avodah, even though it's all foolishness, how we have to put effort in serving Hashem. And they would all be encouraged to go with him to Shilai. And when they would go, they would sleep in the biggest street, the street center, Swanson Street, Hassan Street, whatever, the biggest Jewish area. And they would gather, men separate, women separate, because men would speak to the men of the local men and the women with the women to convince everybody to go to Shilai. And the older people spoke to the younger people, and the whole city where Elkanah and his group came would be excited. And they would say, where are you going? And they say, we're going to the house of Hashem and Shilai, because over there comes teachings of Torah. Why don't you join us? Go with us. They would start crying and they would say, we would go with you. And they would happen again until the next time. 5 families went the next year. 10 families went. By the 3rd year, he had 60 families. And every year, Elkanah went a different way until he would get more Jews to go. And Elkanah would bring all the Jews to merit. And that's why many people merited through Elkanah. Okay.